Hi, I'm Nicholas Seminario, founder of Dark Angel Company. This podcast is to share the untold stories of just a few of the many people battling mental illnesses in this world. If you're in need of a little inspiration to keep fighting or to feel less alone in your battle, keep listening and share to spread awareness. This is the Dark Angel Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dark Angel Podcast. It is me and Max again today. And I don't know if you guys can tell, you know, if you guys are watching this on YouTube, if you're listening just on Spotify or iTunes, you're probably not going to be able to see this, but we changed the room up a little bit, so I'd love to know your guys' feedback on that and what you guys think about that. You know, the other day I went golfing, I was doing some interviews, and, you know, so if you guys have seen those, thank you for that, that's awesome, but you know, I was doing a lot of thinking and a lot of introspecting and, you know, kind of about my past, where I've come from, how long, you know, just how much progress I've made over the years, you know, and just kind of like my whole journey. And, you know, it kind of came to me. I was like, we should do a podcast on the inner child, you know, and Max mentioned this a few weeks ago, and I was like, that's an amazing idea. And it was kind of just really in my head. And I was really wanting to kind of dive deep into this. So today we're going to be talking about your inner child. And your inner child is a part of your subconscious that has been picking up messages way before it was able to fully process what was going on mentally and emotionally. It holds emotions, memories, and beliefs from the past, as well as all hopes and dreams for the future. So something like that was when I was younger, I always had this dream. I wanted to go to Chaminade High School. I wanted to go to law school at Harvard, and I wanted to be a lawyer. And this is something, you know, I wanted to do from when I was in kindergarten all the way until I actually went and started touring the schools. I got into Chaminade and I was like, I do not want to go here. Like when I say I got in, I went into the physical building and I was like, I do not want to go here. But that is something, you know, that was a dream and a hope that I had as a child. So that's kind of similar to the stuff that we're going to be talking about today. Our inner child remembers the smell of fresh-baked cookies our mom would make on a random weekday night, or the look on your dad's face when you did something that made him proud. It remembers the feeling that you had when you first had your maid in school, or how confident and good it felt to be invited to your first birthday party. So things like that, right? These kind of impactful things that we may not look at now as something that's huge, but then it was a lot of firsts, it was a lot of big moments in our life. So that's kind of what we're going to be getting into today. And, you know, I want to start off asking you, do you have any nostalgic feelings today that you can attribute to your inner child?
Yeah, I'd say a lot of times just kind of sitting around the table, having dinner with my family, that's something we always used to do. You know, I made a point to do that most nights. So it's something that kind of brings me back to that feeling when I was a kid.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, it would be something similar to like when we were younger, my dad, he used to make cookies. And, you know, we always have this joke. He's like, oh, don't tell your friends that I'm the one who makes the cookies. You know, it's like a joke. He's like, I don't want everybody to know I'm a baker. And so when we were younger, he used to make the most amazing cookies, most amazing, right? It was next level, and we would love them. And it just kind of gives you that warm feeling, right? That memory. And, you know, it's just that good feeling. Is there any trait about yourself today that you attribute to your inner child?
Yeah, I'd say so. Kind of just the way my interactions, I'd say, with people are attributed a lot to that. I think a lot of the way that I approach certain social situations is largely affected by those emotions from within, you know, as a kid. Because I guess you kind of respond compassionately, you know, or more compassionately if you weren't shown compassion as much as a kid. You kind of fill in those areas that you feel that you needed.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. So for me, it was more like I've always been somebody who's super outgoing. So ever since I was a little kid, right, I was in preschool. So I was 3 or 4. I've always had a peanut allergy. So for those of you who don't know, I've been allergic to peanuts and tree nuts my whole life. As a young kid, I was very conscious about it and very aware about it. and, you know, kind of added to my personality, but it would be so funny. Like, if we were having Oreos at snack time or whatever, I would be like, oh, I have a peanut allergy. Like, I would always make sure to mention it, talk about it, whatever. And, but it was just kind of who I was, right? I was very outgoing. I could talk to anybody. There was, so my dad owned a car wash down the road from our house. There was this guy, his name was Phil. He was 85 or 86 at the time. I believe I was like 5 or 6. I was a very, very young kid. And I would go into the car wash and I would talk to him for 45 minutes, 50 minutes at 5 or 6 years old. You know, I would have a conversation with an 85-year-old for an hour, you know, whatever it was. Like, it was a long time. I was always kind of looking for those enriching conversations and being able to just be myself. You know, I didn't want to have to kind of hold back. And I was able to do that through those situations. And funny enough, one day I had my friends over swimming in my backyard. And I guess I saw him at the car wash and I was like, oh, why don't you come over? So he came over and, you know, my friends are in the pool and I'm sitting and talking to this guy who's 85, 86. And it was such a good, he was just such a good guy. And it was just, like I said, it made me be able to be who I wanted to be, right? I was able to have these conversations where, you know, I probably wasn't getting that from a 5 or 6 year old kid at the time. Yeah. But that's who, you know, my inner child was, right? I wanted to be able to talk to people and embrace who I was. And I was able to do that through him. Unfortunately, our inner child also remembers the times that we got ignored or bullied in school. It remembers when you saw your mom tearing up as we say goodbye to her dad. It remembers the feeling when you heard yelling in your house and when your parents would fight, things like that. Is there anything negative that your inner child remembers that kind of still affects you to this day?
Yeah, you know, obviously with the parents, you know, I guess they're yelling at you, that stuff, arguing, whether or not it was a lot or a little bit, that stuff always has an effect on you. And I noticed that stuff definitely still has an effect on me. Not so much today, but there's still times that I notice it.
Yeah. And
what about you?
Definitely. You know, I'm someone where I was not a tough kid growing up. Like, me and my brother gave my mom a lot of trouble. You know, like, we were a pain in the ass. You know, that's kind of like how it was. And so me and my brother, we would get yelled at all the time. And it was 1,000% warranted. Like, looking back, we're like, yeah, we totally deserved it. Like, me and my brother, we would gang up on her or whoever, what, my sister, like, whatever it was. And we were just pains in the asses. But, you know, kind of seeing that, like, I'm happy for kind of being reprimanded the way I was. And it was never anything like extreme, but it was always, you know, like I say now, it made me the respectful person I am today. It kind of shaped me into how I am. But yeah, of course, there was always times when people would be yelling and, you know, stuff like that. I don't think it bothers me too much. I guess it would depend on the situation, but, you know, we're Italian, we're loud, you know, we yell a lot, I talk very loud, like, that's just how we are, you know, so it was, but there was definitely times where, you know, it upsets you, and I definitely have those memories where it does leave, you know, a mark there, right? Like, it's...
What exactly are those feelings that are left behind, though?
I guess just kind of like that scared little kid, you know, like, you're in your room or you're upset with your parents and you're just angry. So you close the door. You don't want anybody to hear you. You don't want anybody to come in. You know, it's like, I don't know if you ever see those like things on Instagram or TikTok, but, you know, it's like when you get in an argument with your parents and then you go run upstairs, you close the door quietly and you're like, oh, I hate you. I hate you. You know, but it's like, you're not saying it out loud, but you're like, I don't want them to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like stuff like that. Right. And which I think is normal. You know, nothing's ever going to be completely great. Right. That's what happens when you're living with people. But what about you? Was there anything or any certain feelings that have still stuck with you today?
More than anything, sometimes just like a reflex, like, oh, I can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, things I kind of catch myself doing that, like, my mom's not going to like that or my dad's not going to like that, you know. So I may try to keep it from them or I may just kind of lean into it and get it over with.
Okay.
But it's kind of that reflex for me.
Okay. Yeah. And see, like, for me, I'm somebody who's very confrontational. So, like, I...
Me too.
Yeah. And I feel like that's also from my childhood, right? Yes. When I was getting reprimanded as a kid, I wouldn't kind of just sit there and accept it.
After a while, you start to give it back a little bit.
Yeah. And look, I definitely wasn't right, and I'm aware of that now, but as a 10-year-old kid, I was like, I'm right, you know? And I would just kind of give my two cents, and I would, you know, state how I feel and why they're wrong or whatever, but that's also kind of part of me now where it's like I still get that same... You know, feel like the need to defend myself, not even defend myself, just prove my right. You know, it's like I'm not wrong. And I think that definitely stems from kind of my inner child where when I felt I wasn't able to maybe voice myself or why I felt I was right, that kind of made me into that confrontational to a degree. You know, it's not like I'm going to go look for fights. I'm not out there like, oh, yeah, let's go fight. But like, I'm not going to back down from anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to come at me and try to argue...
It teaches you to almost hold your ground a little bit in a good way.
Yes, exactly. You know,
also
exactly.
In a bad way, but...
Yeah. Yeah, but
it's
not...
Depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm going to be taking it to that next level. It's where I need to stick up for myself, whatever, and I have no problem doing that. You know, I'm not going to back down from anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're very similar with that, too.
Yeah, I probably the same reaction to my mom yelling at me.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of giving it. You start giving it back, you get in more trouble, so you just give it out more.
Yeah.
It's a never-ending loop, you know.
And, you know, I always heard, too, from when I was younger, like, my brother, he was somebody who, if he would do something, he would be like, oh, I'm sorry. And, like, there was no confrontation, right? So,
yeah.
He was so smart. He was just like, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and then get yelled at. I see Nick always gets yelled at, and then it turns into get more yelling because he doesn't want to just say, oh, sorry, I won't do that again.
Yeah.
It took me about 18, 19 years to learn that, but he would always do that, and he would just be like, okay, I'm sorry, and then that would be it, you know, so it was like he was very smart in that sense where he was like, I don't need to get my point across. What does it matter? You know, I'm not in trouble. Like, so, you know, things like that. I think it's very interesting to see, you know, with different people how.
Yeah, see,
is.
I don't even think I ever really learned that as a kid. That's something that kind of just, I guess, happened one day eventually.
Okay.
I stopped arguing back, you know, but I argued back for a long time.
Yeah.
And I still do, I will with anybody, you know. It's kind of, I guess that's kind of like the reflex also for me.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
I learned it really from my brother, you know. And look, it wasn't very long ago. Once we got to high school, it's not like we were getting in trouble anymore, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
Different for you.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit.
Why did you get into it?
Nah. I mean, look, we all learn at our different paces, you know. I definitely didn't want to listen.
Yeah.
More for the reason of just maybe spite than anything.
Yeah.
Maybe that was part of an inner child early on. You know what I mean? That's not something I really like thought about too much.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I definitely still have that reflex a little bit. Like, it takes a lot of self-control to not kind of react to situations like confrontationally, because that's how a lot of the problems were handled in the house I grew up in.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It was just you kind of go argue it out a little.
Yeah.
Bit, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because as I got older, my parents were relatively strict growing up. You know,
yeah,
like, they wanted us to be respectful kids. They didn't want us to be, you know, they wanted us to be good kids. And, like, looking back, like, I want to raise my kids the same way I was raised. You know, I appreciate everything they did for us and how they raised us. And, like, it made me who I am. And I'm happy with who I am. You know, so it's like, I want my kids to be the same way. But when we were younger, things were pretty strict. So that also kind of affected me. And once I got to high school, my parents became much less strict. And that's when we started kind of, I became a lot more mature. You know, I was very mature in middle school, obviously, right? You know, you're a kid.
Can't expect too much as a kid.
Exactly. And once I got to high school, I kind of finally realized, like, okay, I have to change. You know, and same thing with my parents. You know, they're like, we have to make a change also. Like, you're getting older. You know, we're going to have to let you do more things. And once we kind of gained that mutual, I guess, understanding and respect at that age, you know, and that maturity, that's when I feel like I was able to fully, you know, like, we weren't getting yelled at anymore. There was no more, like, arguing back and forth for that, you know, and I think that also played a big part in it. So, and then through high school, I eventually learned from my brother, like, just say okay, like, just cut it there, and then there's no, it doesn't get further. My mom's like, and she would even say it to me. She would be like, why are you arguing? She's like, if you just say okay, and then leave, then that's it. You know, and I was like, and then I would still argue that, you know, and it was like, and then I eventually realized, you're right. Like, what does it matter? Just say whatever, and then, you know, you can feel
it's
your
It's hard
way.
To swallow your pride, though.
It is.
As a kid.
Yes.
It's very hard, you know, and that was something I guess I always struggled with. And, like, even in high school, even when I said okay sometimes, like, it still continued. Like, almost like I'm still going to get my point across.
Yeah.
So that's the, those are the times I'd fight back.
Yeah.
Looking back on it now, I needed the, you know, every kid kind of needs that strict, strict guidelines. It's how you kind of learn the boundaries, you know, and you push them, you learn your lesson. It is what it is. But, it definitely, like, it brings out a little bit of like a confrontational side, and it's a hard thing to kind of push away. Even now, like, I find myself still like in those moments where someone's kind of, oh, you know, you should do this at work. You know, I've had in just multiple jobs, you know, coworkers, they try and get a little smart with you and you're like, I don't know what you're talking to.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, not to be like a dick, but I don't know if I could say that.
Yeah,
but,
you're good.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's almost like you don't feel like they have, some people have the right to say certain things sometimes.
Yeah.
Not like a cocky way, but just like, you're not my mother.
Yeah, and you're not going to walk all over me.
Yeah, you know?
And
So you kind of then, you lead into that with a little bit more confrontation, and that never goes well.
Yeah, and look, like, I think in that aspect too, like, sometimes you might be looking for it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
definitely,
like,
definitely there's times that happens too.
Yeah, and you're like,
you're having,
you know,
a bad day, and
yes,
you lay on the horn a little bit too long, or you drive by someone a little too slow looking at them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that kind of all attributes to, you know, your younger self, right? It's like, stuff didn't change.
It's the reactions, I guess, you learn the earliest on kind of stick with you.
Yeah, exactly. And most likely, it's probably learned or inherited from your parents. You know, do you notice similarities with your parents and you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Way too much.
Yeah, and that's
not like in a bad way. I love my parents, and they're great people.
Yeah.
There's traits, obviously, that aren't good about everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and when you notice those things, you gotta, you know, it's your responsibility to kind of almost fix them.
Yeah, exactly. Know? And I'm the same way, too. Like, I have a lot of traits from both my parents. You know, we're all thick-headed people, and we say this all the time. Like, we're all thick-headed. So it's like, you live in a house with everybody who's thick-headed.
You're gonna bash heads.
Nobody's wrong. Yeah. You know, and it's like, myself included, I'm never wrong. And it's like, we're all never wrong. So how can nobody ever be wrong?
Yeah.
Sometimes it causes problems, you know, and it's just the reality of things. So, you know, is that kind of similar with you guys? Like, are you...
We're definitely thick-headed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a great way of putting it. Even now, like, between siblings, my brother, I love him to death, but he's the worst because he's got the most older people around him out of all of us.
Yeah.
So he's got two, you know, teenage age, older siblings, and then my parents, who aren't, I'd say, as confrontational about the way they used to go about things.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely have like more of a softer touch now. But he is, oh my gosh, for 9 years old, man. He's a handful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like, it is funny too. So I have a younger sister where she had definitely a less strict upbringing than we did, but she's like the most well-behaved kid ever. And we're like,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense, you know? 'Cause like, we were But I guess it's also different. Like, me and my brother had each other to kind of feed off of. So he would be like, oh, Nick, you should do this. And I'd be like, okay. And then I'd do it. You know, it's like we would feed off of each other, where she didn't really have that because we were so much older. Like, I'm 7 years older than her. My brother's 6 years older than her. So it's like, yeah, there's so much age in between where it's like,
yeah,
you know, and we all were there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like she kind of saw us as we were maturing, so it made her more mature.
See, I think the thing with my brother, because I'm 10, almost 11 years older, 10, almost 11 years older than him, and then my sister is 6, almost 7 years older than him. So right as me and my sister kind of got into our teenage years, you know, you're just kind of figuring everything out.
Yeah.
That's probably my brother's first memories, you know? So he's got the, you know, like the teenage attitude down to a T.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, with my parents splitting up, he looks at me and my sister even more now, just because we're constantly around, you know. Not that my parents aren't, but, you know, you're at one parent's house, then the other. Yeah. So you kind of find your consistencies where you can get them, and he's definitely got, like, my sister's attitude.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. You know? It is interesting, too, right? Like, because they saw different things than what we saw growing up. So, first off, obviously, everything's different in the world today. Yeah,
and even the same situations are different if you're looking at it from a different point of view.
Exactly. And like you said, like, they saw us when we were growing up. So it's like you wonder kind of what their first memories and their inner child is really like too. You know, I think that's
things
something
you completely kind of disregard made the biggest impact on.
Yeah, yeah. I think you guys at home should ask your siblings or ask your family members what their inner child is like and what memories, good or bad, that they have, you know, from their childhood.
And sometimes even then, like, even if they might not know, pay attention to how they react to things. It's very telling in the things they kind of hold with them, you know, and they may react to strangers a lot differently than family even sometimes, because it's almost like a clean slate, you know, and that's sometimes where you kind of act the most. Act, I guess, from like the deepest point that you don't really think about. You know, it's just kind of a reaction.
Yeah, totally. Our inner child stays in with us with all these subconscious memories and feelings. It's present when we become teenagers and when we are trying to belong. It's the part of us that feels crushed or betrayed when we are hurt, ignored, or lied to. In times when you get upset and someone says you're being dramatic, why is this making you cry, and you can't figure it out yourself either. It might be something that's triggering an event only your subconscious inner child remembers. You know, so it's like when I used to be at like functions, right? Whether it was like family parties, whatever it is. And if I was being ignored by people, right? So like I said, I still talk a lot, but I talked a lot. And sometimes, you know, I was just that little kid who wouldn't shut up. And I saw that on, like, my family members' faces, you know, whether it was aunts, uncles, whatever it is, and that upset me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm going to be honest, like, that hurt me, and it's still, sometimes I'll go into situations today, like, I'm like, oh, no, I don't need to talk, because just in case that happens, like, I don't want to have that feeling. You know, it's a terrible feeling, but I remember it like it was yesterday. Like, I could, it's a terrible feeling, and it did make me really upset. So, like, if that even happens now, and it could be even unintentional, right? Like, if three people are talking, whatever, and it's like, I'm like, you know what? I won't even bother. You know, it's like,
a lot of the times it is, like, unintentional.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
And it's just, it comes from that place where only you can kind of feel it. You know?
Exactly. And, like, but that's something specific that really stuck with me as a kid. And it was like, this sucks, you know? And it was like, I don't want to feel like that. And it happened a bunch of times. And like you said, it probably wasn't intentional, but that's how it felt. Yeah. And it sucked.
So how did you kind of go about recognizing that? Because that would be one thing I think most people would find hard about this whole process, is kind of recognizing those reactions.
Yeah. I think as a kid, I definitely didn't recognize it. You know, I recognized that it upset me and I didn't like it. But I guess now I was able to fully recognize, like, the feelings I had with it, you know, and why even still to this day, sometimes I'll go into conversations kind of with my guard up, you know, like, I'm not going to start talking unless everybody else is done talking. And it's also different with my family. Like, we all talk. We're my whole family, like my mom's side especially, we're all very loud, very close. Like, we all, you know, so we always have this saying in my family where, like, you have to start your sentence before the next person's done with theirs, you know? And it's like, then you, because you can't get a word in. So it's like, that situation, I think it's a little different. But, you know, I guess just in general, especially with people I don't know, if I'm talking, I want to be heard. And I want to be listened to, you know? So it's like, I'm not going to sit there and not be listened to. And I still kind of, like I said, put my guard up with certain things, you know? Do you notice anything from your childhood that upsets you, something specific like that?
Honestly, yeah, I was just kind of thinking about it now. Sometimes when you kind of, I don't know how to say it, but like almost like formalities when you're, you know, like have a nice, like common courtesy, almost like manners, things like that. I guess my mom was like so adamant about manners and being respectful and things like that, that when people don't do that, like nowadays, it doesn't bother me so much as like I notice it. And, like, it leaves, like, a taint on, like, that interaction, if that makes sense, you know?
Oh, I'm the same way.
Right? Like, yes. It's not, like, a huge thing for me, but it's something I definitely notice, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because I don't always, like, react the way that I feel like I should, I mm-hmm. guess, as a kid. You know, you're taught to act.
Yeah.
My mom was so adamant about manners and respect that that's something I notice now, whether or not I want to.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so funny that you say that. See, like, I didn't even think about that, but my parents were the same way. They're very big on respect, manners, you know.
Please and thank you. Yes. Yes, sir, no, ma'am.
Not with that stuff, but more like please, thank you, all that stuff. And that's so funny you say that. Like, I notice when people don't say thank you, or like I hold the door for somebody and they don't say thank you, it irks the shit out of me.
Slightly let it go early.
Yeah, like it makes me so mad. I'm like, like, I'll wait there for a minute. I don't care. Like, elderly, no matter what it is, I'll do it for anybody.
And it won't stop me from doing it in the future either.
No, exactly. Yeah. But it's like,
it doesn't take more than 2 seconds and zero thought to say thank you.
And look, I'm not doing it so you could say thank you to me. I'm doing it because that's how I was raised,
right? My
mother
would beat me if I didn't say thank you. Right? So that's how I think, you know?
Exactly. And it's like, so I shouldn't do this either, but there'll be some times where they'll just walk in and won't say thank you. I'm like, you're welcome. You know, like, there's my confrontational side coming out. But, you know, I'll be like, what the hell? Like, I waited here and, you know, I didn't have to do that. And look, I know you didn't ask me to, but still, it's just respect.
Yeah.
But even...
No, I get 100%. Kind of.
Yeah. And like, I feel like I'm someone who's like... over, you know, thankful, where I'll be like, oh, thank you so much, you know, I really appreciate what you did. Yeah. And which, you know, it takes 3 seconds. It's not hard. So it's like, I don't know. And look, people are raised different ways, so it's less important to people.
And look, sometimes you just have something going on you're not paying attention to.
Yeah,
exactly. You're just kind of
walking. Yes. Yeah. And yeah, that's so funny you said that. I didn't even think about that. That's an interesting...
Because I guess where I'm working now, you know, it's a lot of, like, quick interaction. And so, please, thank you, you know, have a nice day, that stuff. Like, I notice it. It's not a huge thing. But, like, when someone just kind of walks away, you know, you say, have a nice day, and they completely ignore you. It's like, all right, well, you're kind of a dick.
Yeah, it hurts.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not even, like, I wouldn't even say it hurts
so much.
It's
just awkward.
Yeah,
it's uncomfortable.
Like, now you just, like...
It's like when you go in and give somebody a high five and then they just leave you hanging.
You could even just say bye.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like when people hang the phone up without saying goodbye, that's like a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah. So I wonder why, you know, it affects us so much. Like you said, it's definitely ingrained in us where, you know, it's important, you know, or you're going to help somebody and, you know, they say thank you or they're doing something for you. It's always thank you. You know, I appreciate it. Whatever it is, it's like, so I wonder why though it bothers us so much because it does.
I know why. It's for me personally, like my mom and my dad were so big on that stuff. I can hear their voices, you know, every time I'm in somewhere like, okay, say thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
So
yeah. Yeah. And that's most likely why, you know, it's very interesting.
Yeah. Like even now, years later, it still kind of plays in my head.
Yeah, exactly. When your inner child is running the show, you may notice that you're experiencing fear, perfectionism, anxiety, or avoiding certain people, places, or experiences. These are all ways that your inner child is attempting to feel safe. When the inner child is running the show, it'll choose behaviors, choices, and thoughts based on unconscious beliefs or memories from the past. And based on what the inner self would need to feel safe, often the inner child does not have access to the adult self reality and may not know about how life is different now or things have changed.
Can I add something to that as well? I think it also acts from a place of emotion.
Okay.
Like the emotions you had as a kid to protect those, protect yourself from feeling that way again. That's where you kind of, when you react from those emotions and you don't really know why afterwards, you know, it seems so silly, you know, whatever that was, whatever you kind of tell yourself, like, I don't know why I did that, you know? But I feel like that's kind of where that comes from, at least personally.
Yeah. So can you get into that and what you mean by that with like a certain experience or feeling?
I don't know. Certain experience. I don't think I could really say. I haven't done enough thinking personally about the inner child, so to speak, but I definitely say, like, I guess when I react in a way where I'm too hard on my brother sometimes, that, you know, that's a good one. When I so when I'm watching my brother, sometimes, you know, you react as an older brother. Now, I wouldn't say I'm obviously, I'm not like a parent to him, but I'm a little bit of a role model, obviously.
Definitely, yeah.
And as being an older brother, you know, I want him to succeed. I want him to be happy. I want all those things for him. And I know kind of from my personal experience, especially, you know, when he's going through things with my mom or not going through things, but like they're in an argument or with my dad, same thing. And you kind of try and share your insight. And what I've noticed is I've definitely tried to almost like push my insight, like ingrain it into him right on the spot, you know. And that's something my parents used to kind of do rather than just kind of let me learn on my own and enjoy the every moment, good or bad.
Yeah.
And like kind of let the experience happen. And that's kind of something where, you know, I'm acting from that place of emotion to kind of protect his, because I know how I felt in that situation. And it's become a lot easier to notice, you know, but it's still something that I don't think it'll ever fully go away. Feeling wise, it'll just be something I can control.
Okay. Yeah. So it's probably something that, like, you
even,
know,
even with my own kids, it'll be hard for me to kind of not overreact to certain situations and kind of overcorrect almost. Because that's what I feel like my parents might have done, was like overcorrect in certain situations.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I react now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So it's more coming of a place from, that's kind of all you know, right? So like your inner child is, when you were reprimanded, you had, like you said, you were being overcorrected, whether it was, you know, you were using your fork the wrong way. You know, I know that's probably like a stupid example, but
yeah, like I'm sure it happened though. You know, you got to use your, don't eat with your fingers, whatever that stuff. Yeah. Definitely got yelled at for that.
So like that stuff sticks with you.
Yeah.
And then I guess, like you said, the only way you know how to kind of then do it on your own is the same way, but it's good for you that you acknowledge it and then now you can go do it differently, you know, and that's kind of the most important, especially that you're conscious about it. So then when you have kids, or if you want to have kids,
I do,
and then you can do that differently, you know, unless you felt that was good, you know.
Look, to some degree, you know, you need strict, like the what they were saying was right. I just sometimes disagreed, I guess, with how they went about it. And that's where I try to do things differently now, and I'd like to hope that when because when I went down to Florida and then I came back, things were different with family, obviously. Like my parents had split up throughout that time. A year by yourself, you learn a lot of things about yourself, and you learn a lot about your emotions and things like that, and when I came back, I was able to approach things with like a clearer head. So I like to hope that I've had a positive effect in regards to my family in that manner, you know, in dealing with those situations, but there's still times that doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah. And I definitely think you have, you know, and you've made an impact on your family, you know?
Yeah. And look, that's not something I think you'll ever really be able to tell, because people still have to learn through their own experiences, no matter what you really kind of show or tell. And that's what I've kind of learned also in regards to that thing with in that reaction with my brother now. No matter kind of what you tell him or show him, I remember as a kid, you could tell me all the information in the world, but until you actually kind of did it, you don't really know,
yeah.
You know? So it's almost, I guess that's kind of life.
Yeah.
It's summed up as you just kind of have to let those things kind of happen. All those experiences, you be there to make sure no one gets hurt and everyone's safe. But at the end of the day, that's all you can really do.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. And nothing or no one is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know,
that's just how things are.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And like, my parents, so they always, no matter what they did, we couldn't like try and get around one parent and be like, oh, like, can we do this? And one was like, no. And
we could do that sometimes.
So that never worked in my house. Yeah. So it was like, that's something I strongly remember, where it was like, they both agreed on whatever. Even if we were wrong, you know, or they were wrong, they were like, nope, we're sticking together. So like, we couldn't get through that barrier, you know, but they definitely had two different parenting styles. You know, my dad, he was raised where you just yell, you get hit, and then that was it. You know, like for when he was a kid, he just did the yelling for us, and that was it. You know, it was like you get yelled at for 3 seconds, and then you're not in trouble anymore. Where my mom, she would, if we did something, she would give us a punishment. She would explain why. You know, so it was like,
you had to pick your poison.
Yeah, and we... Yeah. Now looking back, I'm so much happier that my mom did what she did, because she wouldn't yell at us. You know, she would explain what we did was wrong, you know, and not just like be like, oh, you're in trouble. Like, she'd be like, look, you shouldn't have done this, this, and this. You know, here's why you shouldn't have done this. And it made me understand a lot more instead of just being yelled at. And I was like, okay, whatever. You know, it's like it's not even a thing anymore.
Yeah.
So it really, and look, don't get me wrong, the punishments were worse. Like, I'd have my phone taken for 3 months, you know, like, crazy things.
I remember those, yeah.
So,
oh, my gosh.
But it was warranted, so it was like...
I think my longest was 6 months.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That yeah, my was 3 months. I was on Clash of Clans saying things I wasn't supposed to be saying. Yeah.
Oh my
God. I was in like sixth grade and I didn't even know what the words meant that I was saying, but
yeah, dude, I think I got my phone taken in high school for like 6 months. I don't even remember. I think I bought like a second phone because I wasn't allowed to have social media. So I'd use the hotspot on one and I have a phone on like all the Snapchat, Instagram. It had no service.
Yeah.
But that's all I needed it for was social media. Yeah, that was rough.
That's smart, though.
Yeah, I was resourceful. I did that a couple times.
Yeah, your inner child was coming out and being resourceful. But yeah, it was very different, you know, and I...
Do you think they complimented each other, though?
Yes, I do. Because if my dad would yell at me, then my mom would explain why. You know, okay. My mom would be like, okay, look, like...
Yeah, you got the emotional kind of...
Yes.
Like, that feeling from your dad.
Yeah.
I guess emotional punishment.
Yeah, from my mom. And it would be more of just, like, the yelling from my dad.
See, I took more to the yelling than the punishment. I never cared so much about the punishment than the yelling.
Okay.
The yelling bothered me more.
I didn't like the punishment.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, I just liked that I was being explained what I did wrong. You know, where... Like I said, my dad would just yell and then it would be over.
See, I always understood it. I understood if it was wrong. I might not have understood why.
Yeah.
But I never liked... I liked the punishment more than the yelling, but I didn't like either.
Okay, yeah.
You know? So, like, I think the yelling was almost necessary, you know? That was almost like the punishment to me, but...
Yeah, and look, I don't like yelling, you know? It's not something, like, I like. But the thing I liked was... It was just done, you know, so it was like, and where like, he would be like, oh, give me your phone, and then he would give it back like an hour later, you know, and we were like, all right, like, that wasn't bad.
Too bad.
Yeah, and
just go hang out in my room for an hour.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, I'm taking your phone for a week, and then he'd come in our room, and he'd be like, all right, just don't do it again, you know, and we were like, okay, and then my mom would be like, oh, give me your phone, it's gone for 3 months, and it would be 3 months to the day, we wouldn't see our phones. God. 3 months.
And then you'd have to have a whole talk when you got it back, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So, look, then it was definitely more annoying because, like you said, you're a kid. You don't want to be in trouble. You want to be getting away with everything. But now I appreciate that much more. And she learned that from her dad. Her dad was always explaining things and, you know, just because when you're a kid, like, if you're getting yelled at, look, if it's the third time or fourth time you're doing something, like, yeah, you know what you're doing. But if it's the first time and maybe you don't know that it's bad or whatever, it's like you're young, you're learning, you're doing new things that you never thought you'd be doing. Like, whatever it is, it's important to kind of have that
you need boundaries.
Understanding. Yeah and those boundaries. You need to learn
that there's boundaries in life. Yes. You only learn through kind of going too far.
Yes, exactly. And you see where you can... And I was also that kid, too. I was a button pusher. Yeah. I'd see how far I could go until, you know, and...
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that.
You were a button pusher, too?
Yeah. Any chance I got.
Yeah.
Any chance I got.
That's like me.
Yeah. Even now, sometimes.
Yeah, I do, too.
For fun. Almost to, like, amuse myself sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of like you just get that weird energy, right? It's like it kicks in from when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And that inner child comes out.
Yeah, I don't know if... I don't really know where that comes from, though.
I don't either.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just kind of a dick.
No, I don't think it's that, because, like...
Not in, like, a bad way, but, like...
There'll be moments where, like, I'll just get this random energy, and I'm like, oh, I'm in a weird mood, you know? And it's like, I want to be annoying, you know? And it's like... But that's what I did when I was a little kid. So it's like, maybe... It is those uncomfortable situations, or maybe we do have a little anxiety in those moments, and it's...
I wonder what that is like a reaction to, almost.
That's what I think it is. I think it's when you have those anxious feelings or those uncertainties in life, it's kind of like you go back into your child self. You know, and sometimes, too, when you have these traumatic experiences at a young age, that also can kind of stunt your age growth. And kind of keep you stuck in positions.
I mean,
you
like know? Mentally and emotionally.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So that's also possible too. You know, there could have been things that you may have blocked out that happened.
Good or bad.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Yes. If your inner child is walking around with 50 pounds of pain, you may feel like you are carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. If your inner child lives with instability, uncertainty, or danger, may hold you back from making changes. You may notice a fearful part, afraid of you trying new things. However, if you're wanting to move on with your life, you probably feel torn. Here are some inner child wounds. Abandonment wound. If you were abandoned as a child, you may fear being alone or left out. That's not something I experience. I don't know if it's something you do. Trust wound. If the adult in your life didn't protect you from danger, you may feel insecure or afraid of getting hurt. Is this something that kind of resonates with you?
No, not really.
Yeah, me neither.
I trust my parents.
Yeah, and that's one thing, you know, we always had each other's backs. We were always there for each other.
Like, I knew even if I was getting yelled at, my mom still cared.
Exactly, you know? Yeah.
Same with my dad.
And I feel the same way. Like, they did everything out of love, you know, and trust and respect, like...
Whether you agree with how they do it, you know, it's coming from the right place.
Exactly, and I always felt like I could go to my parents, you know, with whatever. You know, they're very trustworthy. Guilt wound. Ooh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
If you were made to feel guilty as a child, you may not like to ask for favors or set boundaries. This is interesting. So...
Yeah, I definitely have trouble setting boundaries.
Yeah, like, so do
that's
I.
That's definitely something I struggle with sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely think I have a guilt wound, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's good to know that I can almost like kind of label it now, kind of let it go. Yeah,
right? And there were definitely certain times where I would do something and then I would get guilt. I would feel guilty.
That's what I'm talking about. Like that reflex now.
Yeah.
That's it, that guilt. It's almost like guilt when I do something. It's like, ah.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And that's most likely from your parents. You know,
it definitely is.
That's interesting.
No one else kind of corrected me in the same way they did.
And they would make you sometimes, not always, feel bad for the things you did.
Yeah, and you kind of have to.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know. So I don't want it to come off as like, I think my parents are bad people.
Yeah,
but
not at all.
But,
no, not at all. Neither do I.
I
fucking love my parents.
Yeah, I love my parents. But, you know, that there's definitely an aspect of that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times when it comes to moving on from these kind of things that kind of Because they do hold you back.
Yeah.
Whether or not you say they do or you feel like they do, they're there. And until you kind of confront them, they're going to be there. And I've learned you can't really move on until you kind of let go of everything. You know, it's like, as cliche as that kind of may sound, like you really do have to let go of all the things that are making you uncomfortable when you kind of just sit there, you know? And it's a lot easier when you can kind of just name it and let it go, because you don't always have to have a solution for it. Acknowledging it is 95% of the battle, at least personally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting because, you know, like, and it wasn't all the time. Like you said, if you're getting reprimanded, yeah, you should feel bad for what you're doing. That's having a conscience.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like having emotions, being human.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I guess as a kid, like, you interpret it a certain way and it kind of sticks with you. Because I'll do something wrong and I'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I feel very, very
especially
bad.
If what you did came from a pure place, like a good place. You know what I mean? And you just didn't know. And maybe they overcorrected you in that moment. They just didn't realize where it came from or something like that. At least that's how I've looked at it.
Totally. And it's very interesting, you know? And then the next one is the neglect wound. It's experiencing neglect as a child, which can lead to low self-esteem, repressed emotions, and a difficulty in saying no. So I don't experience this. I'm not sure if you do.
I mean, I'll say the boundaries and difficulty saying no kind of go with the third one for me.
Okay.
More than anything.
Okay. I think... where the difficulty saying no in the neglect aspect, I think it means more of you're kind of looking for that reassurance, right? So if somebody's asking you to do something, like, I have no problem saying no, you know, where some people can't.
Yeah, where it's almost like you feel obligated to because it's what the inner child would want. Almost.
Yes, exactly, because now you're getting that attention, you're getting that...
You're giving it to someone where you feel like you wanted that as a kid.
Yeah.
You're being what you needed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, do you experience that?
No, I'd say it all kind of ties. For me personally, it's more the guilt.
Yeah, that's the same with me. Yeah. And that's kind of the only one. And I imagine there's probably more.
I'm sure there's an element of all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
To some capacity, but the one that I feel is the strongest is the guilt.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Now, other than the one wound you identified, do you know if... You know, thinking deep, do you identify with any of the other ones? You know, maybe not anymore, but as a kid you did.
Yeah, I think being the oldest child in the family, there was a little bit of, I guess you could say a little bit maybe of neglect in a sense. Not in the way that I felt like I was a neglected child.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were times where, you know, you're older. The attention has to go with the younger kids, and that's just how it is, you know? And, you know what I mean? Like, it's not something I think I ever really negatively looked at, but it was something I definitely noticed.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess kind of similar for me too. I was a middle child. Now, me and my brother are both middle children, but we, for the longest time, I was the middle child, and my brother, he was born 19 months after me. So we're very, very close in age. So obviously, you know, you have a newborn baby, you have to pay attention to the newborn more than the kid who's a year and a half. You know, not saying that it's not like you said, it's not like we were neglected.
Yeah. But you understand where it comes from.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not, but, and I think the only reason is just kind of because I asked if, you know, we've experienced anything else. I guess that would be the closest one. I really don't think. Like, we were...
If
I
had to pull back from all the feelings I can think of from a kid, that might be one of them.
Yeah, because I don't feel like I was neglected at all. Like, and I'm not just saying this, like, my parents are seriously so loving and so giving and so caring, where it's like, they do so much for us, and it really... You can't even put it into words, you know? It's like, I'm seriously... I feel so blessed and so lucky that... They are my parents, and I was able to be brought into this world by them. Like, seriously, they're so supportive. They're so loving. You know, they're our biggest fans. Like, no matter what, they're always there for us. So it's like the amount of love and support and everything they show, all four of us, you know, is like unbelievable. So it's like no matter what we do, they're always there. Like, even... As a kid, my dad came to every single one of my baseball games. I think he missed maybe one game. One game.
That's crazy.
And I've been playing baseball since I'm 4 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, no matter what we were doing, they were always there. It was, like I said, my dad was at every single baseball game. He took me to trainers.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, another lucky thing, there's a lot of parents who were very overbearing and over, especially in sports, like where you couldn't do anything right, you're screaming at the kid. My dad was never that dad. He was always just there. He was either doing the book, whatever it was. You know, he was always helping out, coaching, and he was never hard on me. Yeah. Like, he wanted to see me do well. He knew what I was capable of, and he was always like, if I had a bad day, he was like, all right, Nick, like, what did you do wrong today? You know, it was never yelling. It was never, it was more of just like a conversation, and he was like, all right, perfect. You know, like, he was like, oh, he played great. You know, I like he just loved watching me play, and it's like, even looking back now, it's like, it means so much to me. Like, I love to be able to say that my dad always wanted to watch me. You know, it's like something that I will never, ever forget.
Yeah,
you know,
something you'll probably do for your kids.
100%.
You know, because you know how much it meant to you.
Exactly. And it's like, and the sad thing is, too, he always said, he was like, you know, my dad wasn't able to go to all my games when he played. He only played until sixth grade. He wanted to work, so he stopped playing baseball and he wound up just working. But his dad wasn't able to go to all of his games, you know, and like that really stuck with me. It's like he's taking time out of his day to come watch me on a Saturday, Sunday. My dad works 5-6 days a week, so it's like, you know, that's a lot. So he would leave work early. He would, you know, whatever he was, he would always come to the games. And it was like that support and that love is like, you can't get any better than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's so lucky, and those feelings, you know, stick out more than anything. You know, it's like my inner child, like you said, like I want to be able to give my kids that same thing. You know, and same thing with my mom, like super supportive. No matter what I want to do, she thinks and says I'm capable of, you know, like always pushing, not even pushing, just letting me be, encouraging me to be my best self, you know, whether it's with this, whether it was with school, baseball, whatever it was. You know, when I was little, I wanted to go to the MLB, like 99% of the kids who play baseball. You'll get there. I know you will. You'll get there. You'll get there. Same thing with school. You'll get there. You'll get there. Like, no matter what it was, with this, you'll get there. You'll get there. Like, just so much support and so much love. And, you know, it's such an amazing feeling, and it's such a nice feeling to have, you know?
Yeah.
Do you experience, you know, something similar? Like, what would you say is something that really, really stuck out to you and, you know, you kind of brought with you now that made you so happy that you did?
In what way, though?
Like, similar to mine, right? So it's like...
In terms of my parents?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say 99% of the things that I do now kind of came from how my parents were, especially after I moved out to... when I moved down to Florida, I kind of fell back a lot on what they had taught and what they kind of preached growing up. Cause I was born in Arizona, so it was more of a Southern, I guess, lifestyle, so to speak, than New York. So, it was a lot easier for me to kind of fall in, and it was never something I never consciously kind of thought about. It was almost like second nature, cause I might not have listened a lot to it growing up, you know? But it's something I came to appreciate when I moved out a lot.
Yeah, totally.
And it, when I came back, cause I didn't have the greatest relationship with my mom before I left. And when I came back, it made it a lot better. Because I had a lot more appreciation for the things that they had done and the way that they kind of went about things. And though I still might not agree with how they went about it at certain times, it was still like what they said and where it came from were spot on, you know? So that was the kind of stuff I was able to take with me. And that even to this day, it's awesome because I can go.
Bless you.
Thank you. So I got bad allergies. I can kind of go back and think about or even just go talk to them about certain things, and they can give that kind of perspective that I can kind of almost take back to, like, okay, they would have said it this way, you know, and like I can kind of almost like run it through from when I was a kid to now, and it'll make sense somewhere along that line for me. I know that might not make sense as I'm saying it, but like,
yeah,
I can kind of almost compare it in a way, and it helps me figure a lot of things out. So.
Yeah, that's nice. So you're able to kind of, you know.
Sorry, I don't know if you could hear that.
A little bit.
My bad. Can't really breathe too well.
But, you know, it's something that really made us who we are today. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like we do have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to be appreciative of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just have a few more things I'm going to say before we close out. Fortunately, it is possible to hear your wounded inner child. You know, in order to do this, it's important to put the work in, right? Otherwise, nothing's going to change. You may experience difficulties in adulthood, such as relationship troubles, substance use, low self-esteem, and more. You can reflect on your childhood, write a letter to your inner child, and embrace your feelings. This is how you process past experiences, heal them, and let them go. You can also benefit from talking to someone, such as a mental health professional. Acknowledging. Above all, your inner child feels safer when they know that you're paying attention to them. It can help to simply acknowledge them, remind them that you're looking out for them, and you can send them your love. Most importantly, right? We should love ourselves.
Yep.
Also, what makes you instantly upset, angry, or fearful, you can trace back to the negative experiences in your childhood. Perhaps your dad never truly listened to you, so now you feel rejected when your partner is too busy to pay attention. When you identify where this pain is coming from, you get to reassure your inner child that they are safe, loved, and heard. You know, sometimes I feel like as people, right, you kind of displace anger or displace emotions, you know, and this is a perfect example, right? Like they said, if your parents or your mom, dad, whatever it was, didn't listen to you when you're growing up, and now you're seeing that in your partners or your friends or whatever it is, it's like I said, when I was younger and when I felt people weren't listening to me when I was talking, and now that bothers me. It's like you have to understand where it's coming from and really accept that.
And I think a lot of times, like, the emotions will never go away.
Yeah.
But as long as you understand kind of where it comes from and you can connect all the dots, then you're good.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yes.
Because you can control everything then.
Yeah.
In your mind, at least, you have a grasp on it all.
And then it makes sense too.
Yeah.
You know?
That's all it really needs to do though.
Yes. Yep, exactly. And you're understanding, you know, where everything is coming from. Try spending time doing what you love to do as a child. Get out the coloring books, listen to music, play with clay, or watch an old cartoon. The important thing is to feel creative and inspired again. Play is built into our schedules as children, but play in adulthood is just as important. Thank you guys so much for listening, and don't forget to check out Dark Angel Company on Instagram at Dark Angel Co. and online at darkangelco.com. If you're interested in supporting and spreading awareness towards bringing light to a dark topic together, then tune in next time.